I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm good now. We had a little technical issue, Richard, to start the episode. Totally my fault.
We sure did, but you know what? We're back.
We are back.
We're back, and some might say, unbreakable.
We're glasses half full kind of guys, huh? Look at us with the pun jokes.
You can't split us up.
That made
Ryan, some would say I have a last airbender.
That didn't work.
Nope. Let me have that one back.
Yeah,
some say I have a sixth sense
there
about
it is.
Podcasting.
There it is.
Yep. Right. Felt good about that.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Hey, Ryan, could you follow the signs?
Oh, boy. Let's just stick to what's happening.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm following along.
What was the shitty one with Will Smith?
Oh, he doesn't remember either. Let me think. After Earth.
After Earth. Good one.
Yeah.
Ryan, After Earth, what are you going to be doing? I have a dead serious question for you, actually.
Yeah.
I brought you up on the radio program today.
Oh, you did? Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I did. Because, well, I don't know if you're going to like why I brought you up. Well, maybe you might. You might not care. So, I don't know if you saw this, but in the Patriots-Chiefs game, Tom Brady, I guess they were shining like a laser pointer at him.
Yeah.
So I told the story, and I was like, so I was always afraid, because laser pointers were really at their apex when we were in high school. That was when they were at their most popular. They were everywhere. You went to a fucking movie, people would be circling breasts. You went to you went anywhere, people had laser pointers, right?
You stand up in front of the class, someone hit you with a little, you know, in your what
right
have
there.
You.
Yeah. Right in the junk. Every time somebody had it. And for a while, it was always funny, and then it quickly became always not funny. But
and it was like, it always devolved into how close you could get it to someone's eye without actually getting it in their eye.
So that's exactly, so you're leading me to where I was going. Because I was always, as you remember, terrified of it, because I don't like things in or about my eye. And once I heard that that can cause permanent damage, I was terrified of it. And so people would be messing around. I'm like, dude, don't. I'm like, I can't have anywhere near my eye. You'll go blind. And one night, probably after a night where I was just talking to you nonstop, you said, that's bullshit. You yanked the fucking pen out of my hand and turned the laser on and stared it right in your eyeball, like an inch away. And you're like, see?
I did do that.
You did it for like 20 seconds. And like me and Shark and whoever was like Woody were like, what? And I was like, so I mentioned that on the podcast, or I'm sorry, on the radio show today. And I was like, you know what? I should ask Davey how his eyesight is.
This is actually a phenomenal story. I'm glad. I actually got kicked out of my last eye exam.
So, because you're like, I tried to blind myself.
No. So my wife wears glasses. So, and in our insurance, we get like one free eye exam a year.
Yeah. Everybody gets one.
So we did it together. And,
wait, I'm what? Going you did like a joint
No.
Test?
Like we did appointments at the same time. Because when you have children, you have to like do these kinds of things like kind of in clumps to like get them all done out of the way. So we both went together and the lady's like, we're going through the whole exam. And she's like, read that bottom line. And I was like, okay. And I read the bottom line. She goes, get out. I actually, at 37 years old, this is a odd flex, as the kids say, a weird brag. I have 20/10 vision.
You fuck. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's like what a lot of baseball players have.
Yeah.
It's like, so just like a ridiculous vision. They'd be like, can you read the bottom line? And you're like, made in China, copyright 2010.
Yeah.
They're like, no, what?
So the idea is, so I asked what that even meant. And the lady said, you see at 20 feet what most average people can see at 10 feet.
Correct.
So I have like really good vision.
I think I'm like 20/30 in one eye and like 20/40 in the other eye.
Yeah, because you get the glasses.
Yeah, I don't wear them though.
I know you don't.
Probably should, but I don't.
Only when you drive, right?
I look like a real dweeb.
Maybe, maybe Richard, and I'm not saying things out of school. Maybe if you shined a laser in your eye,
uh-huh,
you'd be down to where I am.
So it actually has the opposite effect.
It sharpened my vision.
So you have the best vision. All right, yep. I'll update the story tomorrow.
I have never worn glasses or braces.
I've never worn braces either, but my teeth also aren't straight. So
mine are fine.
Yeah, mine are fine too.
But I'm fat and going bald, so you got to pay the man some way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Everybody gets theirs, so there we right?
Got to pay the man.
All right, well, it's good to know that your eyesight's still good after you tried. You were so mad at me for some reason, and you ripped the laser pointer out of my hand.
Maybe it was just like you were being such a baby about it. You know what I mean?
I was getting real pissy about it. I did not want it anywhere near my eyes or face.
But I remember the look.
I remember that so clearly. That was fucking 20 years ago.
I haven't thought about that in years, but I still, after you told that story, I remember the look of horror on your face as I did that.
Oh my God, that was intense. Yeah. So anyway, so that's that. So I'm glad we cleared that up. Ryan, let's get to the news. This week in Dorn. Yeah. Ryan, The Punisher Season 2 is out. It is available on Netflix, all 13 episodes. I would say I'm about halfway through, and I personally am loving it.
See, I read this, and I'm two episodes in, and we are slow. Right now.
Well, slow going. Yeah. You know what? Probably part of it is the Punisher is one of my favorite comic book characters of all time. And sure. I think Jon Bernthal does a really good job as him.
Yeah.
So I admittedly cut it a little bit more slack. It's like if they had a Spider-Man Netflix show and there were slow moments, you'd still be all in.
Oh, yeah. I'd be all in. But at the same time, you know, the bar fight in this isn't a spoiler, but the bar fight in the, I think it's the second episode.
Yeah. It was early on. Yeah.
It's real good. That was real good. Yeah. Nice and tight.
There's good, and some of the new characters I like. Uh-huh. So without, and we'll do a standalone episode on The Punisher Season 2, but the new girl that's in it, and she was like in the trailers and stuff, I don't know how to describe her other than she would be like the third hottest girl at every school.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Don't you think? Like it's one of those things where she's probably good friends with the hottest girl in the school, and then if they were together, you'd be like, actually, you know what?
Yeah.
Like she just reminds me, like she wouldn't like, and she'd be at everybody's school. Like everybody had a girl at their school that probably looked kind of like her.
And she's that nebulous age where she could be like 16 or like 25.
I think she's playing 16, and I believe she is 21. But yeah. As you said, she could also play 25 if she
had
to. Yeah, it's interesting. But anyway. So I like Punisher Season 2. We'll see where it goes and all that stuff. We also got a trailer last week, Ryan, for John Wick 3. And Halle Berry looking pretty good.
Her and Paul Rudd, they just don't age.
They really don't. Halle Berry's incredible. We've talked about this on the podcast. Going from, was it Monster to, or no, Monster's Ball.
Monster's Ball.
To Catwoman.
In one leap.
Is an incredible swing. Like just high and low is unbelievable.
And I believe, wasn't Monster's Ball sandwiched between two X-Men movies?
Yeah, that makes sense. And like Swordfish or like someone like those were all in there, I think, together.
Yeah.
She's interesting. She was really good in The Program, going all the way back to The Program.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big Halle Berry fan. And then the one story I remember about Halle Berry is, so she was married to David Justice.
Yes.
Who for a long time when he was on the Braves was one of my favorite players. And as the story goes, they were married. And then one day David Justice was like, I don't want to be married anymore to Halle Berry.
And there's like, you heard that, and that happened again too. Like some guy divorced her.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And then there was like this huge like custody thing. I'm pretty sure like it was something's going on.
Something stinks, right? Or it's something's rotten in Denmark, as they would say in every Quentin Tarantino movie.
Sure.
Ryan, speaking of Quentin Tarantino, actually not really, but the Oscar nom nom noms came out today.
Sure did.
Now we're not going to dig into every single category, but here are the best picture noms, and I want you to tell me which movies you have seen and also which movies you would like to see.
Fire away.
Black Panther.
Seen it.
Black Klansman.
Need to see it.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Lukewarm on that.
The Favorite.
No interest.
Green Book.
I'll see it when it's on HBO.
Roma.
No interest.
A Star is Born.
Seen it.
Vice.
Have not seen it. Don't know if I want to see that.
Yeah, and I like to see as many as I can before the Oscars. I don't know why, but I try to.
Yep.
I'm not really interested in a lot of them. I've only seen Black Panther and A Star Is Born. I want to see Black Klansman probably the most on this list. Mm-hmm. My wife wants to see Bohemian Rhapsody, so maybe I'll sit through it, but I really have no interest, believe it or not.
I mean, the thing
I've heard enough like things about it where I'm like, I don't really care.
And here's the thing, like I grew up listening to Queen and being like having a passing knowledge of like the story.
Yeah.
And then when the movie came out, I started watching, you know, interviews, and I watched the Live Aid concert, and I was watching all these things, and I'm like, now I'm probably just going to be pissed that they don't get into like the nitty gritty of the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They kind of like bend the truth a little bit here and there.
And like kind of like make some things a little bit shinier than might not have been. So, but I want to see it cause I want to see how Rami Malek does it, you know?
Yeah. I guess I should see it. And then Vice, I'm kind of interested, sort of interested. So we'll see. Mm. We got like a month to go. So we'll see whatever it is or whenever they're out. Also this week, we got the Razzie nominations.
Sure did.
Here are the nominees for Worst Picture 2018. Gaudi.
Which I have to see. I have to see this movie.
I'm with you. We got to see Gaudi.
Yeah.
The Happy Time Murders.
You're so pissed.
Which I would say, fuck out of here with that Raspberries Awards. That is bullshit. That is not one of the worst movies of the year. Robin Hood. More like it.
Yep, that's more like it.
Winchester, which I have no idea what that is.
I have no idea what that is either.
And Holmes and Watson.
Which...
That belongs here.
Probably that does belong here. That does belong here.
Dude, Happy Time Murders, come on. That's a bad rap. They tweeted out the Rotten Tomatoes scores of all five of them. And Happy Time Murders, I think it's like in the 20s, which is obviously very low, but it's significantly higher than all the other ones.
All the other ones are like either like single digits, right?
Yeah.
I think Gotti's a zero.
I think Gotti's still rocking a goose egg.
Yeah. That's hard to do.
We got to see Gaudi. And so Travolta's nominated. And Kelly Preston, who's also in the movie, is nominated for like worst.
Awesome.
Pretty funny.
Yep.
So is Melissa McCarthy. I think she's nominated for a Razzie and an Oscar this year.
She is. That's incredible.
That is pretty wild.
That's more impressive than what are they called? The EGOT? I think to me.
Yeah, that Tracy Jordan was going for.
Yeah.
EGOT.
Yeah. So John Legend actually just got an EGOT, which is nuts. But.
Oh, wow. If both were televised on the same night, the Oscars and the Razzies, aren't you watching the Razzies?
Absolutely. And there was a year, who was it? I think it was Halle Berry showed up and accepted her Razzie.
That Halle Berry did for Catwoman.
Yeah.
The Rock, I don't think he showed up, but the Rock won one for Baywatch, and he like did like an acceptance video or something. Like that's he was awesome. In on it. They should do this and get like hosts and get like just vicious hosts.
As a throat clear. Collar pull. If they did an online stream of the Razzies and you and I like kind of like did the color.
We should host the Razzies.
We should absolutely host the Razzies.
I would love to host the Razzies and get like Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
Like it'd be great. Just turn it into like a roast and then just like show clips of the movies and be like, are you guys fucking kidding? And then you'll find out like who has a sense of humor and who doesn't like right away.
Yeah. And then you defending to the death the Happy Time Murders as everyone just laughs at you.
What did they or did they not have the funniest scene of 2018?
Yeah, if they gave it away, if they didn't give that away in the trailer, that would have been the funniest.
You can't penalize them for that. That's whatever came up with the fucking trailer.
No, but if they didn't, imagine if they didn't show that in the trailer and you saw that in the theater, you might have died.
I might have died or at least killed somebody like vaulting into the next row.
Yeah.
I would have missed the next 10, 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. You would have had to like leave.
I would have had to like excuse myself.
And then you would have gotten into that loop where like you're laughing that you're laughing.
Yes. Oh yeah. And then you're just like, you can't stop. And then you start thinking of every funny thing that's ever happened to you. And then you're paralyzed with laughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That for sure would have happened. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the Razzies as well. That's all the news I got. That's all the news fit to print, Ryan. Do you want to get to your news?
Sure.
All right. It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Takes more than a minute. What do you have, Ryan?
So I got one thing on the docket, and this is fascinating to me. I know there's a lot of games coming out, Richard. Have you heard of this company called Feel Real?
I have not.
F-E-E-L-R-E-E-L.
Feel Real.
Now. Oh, no, sorry. It's not. It's Feel Real. Like I thought it was R-E-E-L. It's R-E-A-L. But
so not like reeling in some fish, but real as in like keeping it real.
But Speaking of fish, so what this company is doing... No, hang on.
Yeah.
This is a company that's made an attachment to VR headsets to experience smells in video games.
Oh, no. And, smells? I don't need smells.
And they said one of the first ports they're going to have is Skyrim.
Jesus Christ.
Now I ask you, Richard, is this something you're interested in?
It's not.
You don't want to smell horses? Or like if you're going fishing, you don't want to smell fish?
Do you imagine how attached I would have been to Bojack had I known his smell?
Have you known his scent and he knew yours?
I
know his
smell. I don't want that. And honestly, if I had to give up one of my senses, it's a no-brainer smell.
No, because you can't taste anything. But then you just see, I would eat really healthy.
You could taste a little bit, though, couldn't you?
No, you can't. If you can't smell,
you can't taste anything without your sniffer?
Nope.
What's the taste bud for? You can taste a little bit.
Maybe it's like sensation, but not actually like flavor. I don't know.
So I believe Joe Haggerty, who covers the Bruins,
yes.
Who is, he also, I believe, listens to this podcast. Or at least
I hope he does. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Hags, but you cannot smell. I think he has no sense of smell, but I think he can taste. Now, I'm sure it's not as good as like a person that can sniff the food.
Yeah, but he has like some, he can tell if something's like, but he could probably tell if something's like spicy, but he can't like taste it. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I don't know. But,
but think about like sight and hearing are like so.
You need them.
I mean, I'd be useless without them. I don't know. I mean, God bless the people that are able to go on without them. Like
would you rather be blind or deaf?
I can't even decide, but probably this is a horrible, this is a morbid.
It's a terrible question.
Probably, we'll clean all this up, but probably deaf.
I would rather be blind.
Well, yeah, because you're a huge, huge
music guy. I'm a music
guy. For me, the thought of just like living the rest of my life in darkness would be enough to end it.
I could get a good turn. I could know it was you by touching your face.
I would never let you.
So let me ask you this. So going back to Feel Real, what are some games? Here are some games on my list that you want to smell if you're going to. Here's one. Red Dead Redemption.
Fruit Ninja.
You're all in on Fruit Ninja. Those fresh, fruity smells, right?
Yes.
What about Mortal Kombat?
Oh, my God. Dude, by the way, did you see the Mortal Kombat stuff?
It's awesome.
Holy shit. The best was I fucking laughed out loud because IGN tweeted out a video of just like some of the fatalities.
Yeah.
And Tom E. Kern, another, we're dropping these NBC Sports Boston.
Yeah, we're going to get another guy in here to pick up all his names, huh?
Well, no. I mean, I do talk to him every week, but no, this was a tweet. I didn't realize he followed IGN, but he just responded to IGN and goes, "What the fuck?" A video of like this just disgusting fatality.
There's one where the guy, it's a new character, punches you in the back of the head and your face comes off. And like your brain comes out of your head. They're like,
yeah, they've really done a nice job.
Oh, what a wonderful job they did. You know what the best thing they ever did was the X-ray moves. Those to me are my favorite.
Oh my God. When you just see like the bones crack.
I love those.
But you're like, how can the fight go on after that?
Right. But think of like, the smells.
The smells would be pretty bad.
Pretty bad. So another one, Goat Simulator.
No.
Would be something else.
I don't want to smell that.
You don't want to smell that? What about,
I don't want to smell that.
Fruit Ninja would be actually pretty nice. And then like I'd Doom. I bet Doom just smells like sulfur. It smells like farts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all this would end up being is people smelling farts.
So one of the things,
do you like smelling other people's farts just to see what it smells like, or are you just repulsed by it?
I don't like smelling other. I don't like smelling farts at all.
So we had a guy on our football team who, like, when we would have road games, we'd have to stay in hotels, and one guy he would fart into cups and then cover them. And he would go bare ass too. Like he would take his pants off, go bare ass into a cup, and then cup it, then put the lid on it. And then he'd wait for this one kid to come in and be like, "Dude, you gotta smell this." And the kid'd be like, "All right." And he would. And like one time he almost puked. Like he was like, it kept all the smell in there.
Let me ask you this.
He went full nose right into the glass and was like, almost knocked him dead.
Have you ever heard of that? I can't believe I'm bringing this up right now. Have you ever heard of this this phenomenon? The kids are doing it called...
come on.
It's called Jenkum. You heard of Jenkum? There's a rumor.
No, I've not heard of Jenkum. Well, maybe I have heard of Jenkum.
Let me explain to you what Jenkum is. So,
So, more money, more problems.
That's what it is. So I the story is that some kid in one, not my school, but another sure. New England boarding school got thrown out for Jenkum. And I looked it up. The kids are like, Urban Dictionary. And I was like, fine. Don't tell me what it is. We can't talk about it in class.
Yeah.
So apparently you number one and number two in like a in like a mason jar. And then you cover it with a balloon. And it'll form like this, like ammonia methane gas. Once huffed, will like make you just like trip balls. So this kid,
wait a minute, hold on. So let me just get the logistics of this. So you go 1-2 into like a
mason jar, like a pee-pee. You go pee-pee and caca into like a thing.
Yeah, I understand. You go ace deuce right into the jar.
Yeah,
and then you take a balloon.
Yes,
and you put it like.
Like you stretch it over the top.
Stretch it over. So it's going to be a decent sized balloon.
Yes.
And then that, like the stink. I picture fills one of those
balloons. One of those balloons that has the rubber band that you like punch. Remember those?
So now you get that on there snug. Yeah, yeah. And then it just fills up over time with the gas?
With a gas. Like that's like ammonia and like methane.
And then you get high off of it?
Oh, yeah. So. No, watch out for that. It's a new craze. That. Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that at all. But smelling games. Feel real.
How do you come up with that?
I don't know.
That's a wild. That's obviously somebody that lives sort of a different, like a dirtier lifestyle.
Getting high off your own supply. That's what that is.
That's true. I wonder if it helps if it's your own or worse if it's your, I don't know.
Now we, we at Dork Podcast obviously do not condone the act of Jenkum or partaking in anything like that. So please, children, please stay away. Please be smart. Dork Podcast.
Don't do Jenkum and send us videos of you doing Jenkum. We won't play them.
We will not open them.
We won't share them. We will not certainly watch them. Oh, fuck. That's it.
That'll do it.
So just to close that loop on smelling games.
Jenkum the game should be out.
Actually, Ryan, let's be honest. The best smelling game would be bringing back MVP baseball and smelling the fucking grass and smelling the rosin bag.
Oh, you row, you
digging
boat,
in.
You stink, you know?
And it's, you know, your guys.
You have a nice time.
Ryan, let's get to the topic du jour, shall we?
Okay.
The topic du jour, Ryan, thanks for asking, is... glass.
Speaking of peeing and pooping in a jar.
Well, I think you know how Ryan feels about it. Glass is a 2-hour and 9-minute M. Night Shyamalan movie, the first movie of 2019 that we took our sweet little asses to the theater to see.
Sure did.
It is currently rocking a 36% on Rotten Tomatoes. However, the audience score is giving it a 79%. Mm-hmm. Ryan, before we get into Glass... let's just quickly talk about the two previous movies in this trilogy. Unbreakable, which came out in 2000.
Which is crazy. Crazy.
Long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Rotten Tomatoes score of 69.
Nice.
And 77. And then Split, which came out in 2016 or 17, is a... or is it 16? Whatever the hell it was. 16 is 76% and 79%. So kind of interesting. The audience scores are all in lockstep.
Yeah.
You know, high 70s for all three of them. The critic score is certainly a whole lot different with this one. So first, Unbreakable, Ryan, did you like it?
I really did. It's not perfect by any means, but when this movie came out in 2000, I mean, this was before the comic book movie boom. I think the only comic book movie that had come out by this point was X-Men and maybe Superman Returns.
I think it was just X-Men, and I think that was the same year. So it was either or, yeah.
But as someone who grew up with comic books, it was nice to like kind of do a deep dive in like how these comic book characters work. And I thought it was a cool, dare I say it, but like a nice twist.
I'll be honest,
how those movies work. I really like this movie.
I like it a lot. I liked it a lot more then. Like I rewatched it for the podcast, and. Definitely still good, but I think it's gone down a little bit for me. Because you can go back in the archives, we did a whole episode on M. Night Shyamalan movies. So we talked more about all of these movies with the exception of Glass then. And I remember really liking it. And some of it was a little bit kind of, there's a lot of Bruce Willis, and so spoilers on Unbreakable and Split, obviously, and then we'll do non-spoilers for Glass before we do spoilers. But for Unbreakable, there's a lot of Bruce Willis, like, just moping around, and like a lot of it's like,
yeah,
his scenes are pretty plot, like slow and plotting, you know.
And that's the only thing. Looking at it now, because I did rewatch both movies prior to seeing Glass. It's just like, it's a bummer. Like, the movie's kind of a bummer, you know.
It is kind of like down. Like, just Bruce Willis's whole thing about like how he had to give up football. Like, he was great at football. He gave up football. Like, the relationship between he and his wife is shit, and like he and his son, like, they obviously get along, but it just seems like a little kind of, you know, he's kind of just like a security guard, and he doesn't seem to be like loving that.
The son cried a little too much for me.
Son cried a lot. Now, like M. Night Shyamalan, so this was after The Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
You did get a nice twist. Like, I thought Samuel L. Jackson was good as Mr. Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea that Mr. Glass was the one causing all of these train wrecks and, you know, car bombs or plane crashes or whatever. That was a pretty good twist. That was a good M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and it was nice to, you know, that they're exact opposites, which I thought, because, you know, Bruce Willis, who's kind of like this lump of a guy.
Yeah, he is a kind of a hump of a guy just walking around.
Yeah, he's just kind of strong as down in his luck. And then you have... Who's very strong, as you said, and then Mr. Glass, who's very weak but very brilliant, very charismatic. I thought that was very, in the way they tied that all in and made that like a comic book thing, I thought was really cool.
That was good. One thing I noticed, and even with Glass, but I thought a lot of it was kind of on the nose, you know, like a lot of like the kind of the references. You're like, yeah, we got it. Like, you don't need to explain it too much. Like, we understand these guys are opposites. We understand that like he's super into comics and he thinks that comic book characters are like based off of real, like, we got it.
Right.
Like, they like explain a lot of it to you. Like, it's like Mac from It's Always Sunny, where he thinks that like you can't follow movies. He's like, yeah, movies are complicated. Like, you don't know what the hell they're what's going on. Like, yeah, no, I got it.
No, I got
what's
it. Going on. Yeah.
A couple of other things that stood out to me about Unbreakable, when he's that bench press scene, when he's in the basement with his son keeps adding weight, kind of awkward, kind of slow, but also he ultimately lifts 350 pounds, which
is a lot.
But is it, like, to me, I've never benched 350, but again, going back to like, you know, college, like, played football with a bunch of guys that could lift 350. So it's not like, and they weren't superheroes.
I mean, you know? I could have lifted 350, but my shoulder, you know?
Yeah. So it's, the injury. If it wasn't for the injury, you would have had that no problem.
I would have had that no problem. But
Yeah,
but like you said, I mean, then I think it was more of like a visual, like the bar starting to bend and he has like the paint cans on it.
Yeah, and like that's all the weight that they had, I guess. So that's fine. But it's not like that's like a crazy number. But and then the other thing I noticed this on rewatch, Bruce Willis is going to find his son, and his son was playing like pickup football, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, you want to play?" And he's like, "No, because obviously he can't play football." But he's like, "Come on." He's like, "They got a big guy on their team. Like, you can even out the odds." And they zoom in on this guy, and he goes, "He is." Where was he going? I think Temple. Oh, he's a corner. He goes, he's a cornerback at Temple, and he's going to go pro. He's going to go in the first round.
Yeah.
And you looked at him. He was just like this white guy. Who's so like a white cornerback. First of all, there aren't any. Like, I guess Jason Sehorn was playing when this movie came out, but he was the only one. He wasn't even built like Sehorn. Like, he was built almost more like,
he's like a lineman.
Yeah, like a lot. Like, he was like a big dude. You're like, he was not a fucking cornerback. And it's like stuff like that where 90% of the audience is just like, oh, okay, great. Like, he's a good football player. And like, that's a kind of a throwaway line. But if somebody who pays attention to sports, you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Here's another Shyamalan twist for you. M. Night Shyamalan, probably not a big sports guy.
Yep. I think you're probably right.
You know, despite being from Philadelphia, I don't think he's a big sports guy.
He plays a little bit of a dink in this movie as well.
He's a dink in all his movies.
That's probably true. That's definitely true. Another thing I noticed, and this would have drove me nuts, is so there's like a scene, it's like a flashback scene where it's Glass's mom gives him a comic book for the first time.
Yep.
And I'm paraphrasing. I didn't write down the exact quote, but she's like, oh, you like this one? There's a real good twist ending. I go, you just spoiled the comic book for this kid.
Yeah.
And again, that's a little like M. Night Shyamalan, like, winking at you. And you're like, all right, good. You got a twist ending. All right, Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. We got it. Thank you.
It's just so heavy-handed. And he's like, you could, you know, him, if he was sitting watching the movie next to you, he'd be like elbowing you going like, eh?
Yeah. Huh? Because there's gonna be a twist in this movie
too. Get it?
And it's gonna involve this character.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
Right, Jesus Christ. All right.
Ugh. But overall, I mean, I'm nitpicking. But overall, I did like it. I think I liked it better 2000 than I do in 2019. But yep. Still, it's pretty good. As for Split, which came back, because again, when we did our whole M. Night Shyamalan movie, most of his movies are either awesome or trash. There's not a lot of in between.
No, you're right. And some of them that are like teetering on watchable are like, you watch them again and you're like, nope. Like Lady in the Water, I thought was really well shot. But like when you saw the trailer, when you saw the movie was really well shot.
One movie I try to convince myself is better than it is The Village. I've tried to defend that before, but it's a hard thing to defend.
It is.
And so Split's better than both of those.
Yes.
Significantly better than both
Split
of those movies.
Split is, yes. But here's the thing. And my wife brought up, she blew my mind last night.
Oh, nice.
We started talking about the movie.
yeah, got him.
She was like, we were talking about the trilogy as a whole after we got done watching Glass. And she said, if McAvoy isn't in Split, that movie is an absolute joke.
Correct.
If you had anybody else in, because he is unreal in that movie. But
he
say you
is
have
really
any,
good.
Anybody
yeah,
else
really good.
Playing that role, it's terrible.
Oh, it could have been like a Razzie type of movie, you know, like with everybody else that was in there. And then if you have that guy and if he's not convincing, you'd be like, what is this?
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't pull that off, he was really good.
My one knock on Split was they're like, hey, this guy has 23 personalities. And they showed you like four and like two of them are similar. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're like, and you could tell that he could do more. And all the ones that he did were really good. He did the old lady. He did the little kid. He did like the guy that was kind of like, you weren't really sure about that guy.
Yep.
And then ultimately the Beast. And you're like, all right, those are all good, but you can't hype up how many he has and then not dive into that a little bit more.
But great name too for him though. Great villain name. The Horde. That's a great name.
The Horde is cool. And then one of the best parts about Split was also just the ending where they revealed that it was in the same universe as Unbreakable.
Yeah.
That was like a great,
that was the best twist of the movie. Did they ever explain why the Beast had to eat people?
Oh boy.
Cause I don't think they did. And to me that was like, he's got his big bear hug. Why does he have to eat people? I don't know if they ever, they might've, I just don't remember explaining that.
I do like the whole thing about them like fighting for the light and like who's in charge of the light and like who's allowed to take the light. And like, that's all like pretty good. And, like they do a good job with that. I don't know. They may have. And of course you guys can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com or tweet us @dorkpodcast with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Like I said,
it's a good question.
They might have said that, but I don't, it's bad that I don't remember, you know?
Yeah. And basically, and the other part of Unbreakable too is like, he's not just insanely strong and, you know, for lack of a better word, unbreakable. He also has, remember the girl from The Haunting of Hill House?
Yes.
He has sort of that little thing too, where he touches you and he can like see what's going on if you're a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's a pretty good power. I mean, that's a power I don't know if I would want, but it's a pretty useful power if you are a superhero.
Would he see nice things, but would he see if people are nice people too?
He didn't.
Like, what do you see? Like, you bump into someone and like the feeling you get is like this, like little this kid like walking an old lady across the street. Like, does he get that?
Or is it just bad? I don't think he does. I think he only gets the shit end of it. Really
like, terrible.
That guy's a molester. That guy is like a fucking murderer. That guy's just, you know, a dickhead. That guy doesn't pay his taxes. You know, the big stuff. But so at the end of Unbreakable, they, you know, it's finally revealed that Mr. Glass is the one that caught, like, he's killed hundreds of people.
Yes.
And so he is in an insane asylum. And what's Bruce Willis doing? He's just out. He helped get him in trouble, and then he's just still doing his thing.
Still doing his thing. Yeah.
As far as we know.
And then
Split, Anya Taylor-Joy's character is allowed to live. You know, McAvoy turns into, or we'll just call
Kevin.
Him Split for now.
Kevin. Yeah. The real person.
Yep. They turns into the Beast, sees her, and isn't it basically because she's been through so much pain that he's like, all right, well, I'm going to let you go, like, essentially?
Yeah, because the whole thing is, like, he selected the girl because they didn't know pain.
Yeah.
And so, like, but then he realized that she, like, it could have just, you could have just asked, you know?
Yeah. So, cause she has like scars all over her body.
Yeah. Like cutting. Like she was like a cutter.
She was a cutter.
Yeah.
And so he considers her like pure, I guess, too. And I was like part of it because he killed everybody else. It was a whole thing. But then there's the whole story, like with her uncle. Like it's pretty fucked up, really. The whole movie.
Yes.
Like she was molested by her legal guardian, right? Because her dad died. It's a whole thing.
It's heavy.
It is heavy. Like if you think of like what all the characters have gone through, it is very heavy. And just the whole idea of a guy with split personality, that alone is heavy. And that, you know, that is something that people are dealing with.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. But I tell you what, you don't like cure that or make that go away just by like being nice to somebody, you know?
No.
You know, so.
But anyway, she also got like kind of Stockholm syndrome too.
Oh yeah. And it's on, not to get ahead of ourselves,
full display in glass. All right. So anything else from Unbreakable or Split?
The biggest twist had to be
the 17-year gap or 18-year gap to be like, hey, this is still, these are connected, which I love, obviously.
Yeah, and it's great that, are we into Glass now?
Yeah, let's do non-spoilers here for Glass. And I think I already know the answer to this, Ryan, but did you like it?
Nah. Nah, dog. It's going to be a no for me, dog. I wanted to. It's a yes for me.
It's a room temperature yes.
You know what's funny? I closed my eyes really tight like you do when you start seeing like white light, and all I saw was like tweets like coming at me for being,
Ryan, this is what I'm telling you. For 2019, stick to your guns.
All right.
If you hate a movie, you hate it.
I didn't hate it.
I'm just saying if there is a movie that you hate, stick with it. You hate it, because you'll have people that also hate it or love it or like it or want to date it, whatever it is.
Well, let me tell you this. I wanted so badly for this movie to succeed. I really, really did. All Shyamalan movies. Like, oh, for whatever reason, everyone's still kind of rooting for this guy, which is very, very strange to me. Out of the stinker. Like, every time he comes out with a movie, you're like, okay, all right, here we go. Like, he's back, you know? And
I know he's really still living off of fucking Bruce Willis being dead the whole time.
I know.
Like he's living. If he never made The Sixth Sense, would we give a shit?
No.
Probably not. Now, he also might not have gotten his number of opportunities, and he might not have made as many stinkers if it wasn't for that.
He would be, who's the guy who makes Yui Bowl? He would be the guy who makes all the comic book movies?
Oh my God. Yui Bowl.
Yeah.
Yui Bowl is the worst. You might be right.
I'm not wrong.
Yui Bowl. So, yeah, and again, so we already did this before, but so after The Sixth Sense, it was Unbreakable, then Signs, then The Village, then Lady in the Water, then The Happening, The Last Airbender, After Earth, The Visit, Split, Glass.
So The Visit was kind of like, so here's the thing, like, The Visit was good.
The Visit was decent. Fine. Decent.
And then you went into Split, which was like, whoa. Okay.
So people are like, he's back. After Split, it was like, wait a minute, he's back, because The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs.
Pretty good.
Back to back to back. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn good three movies.
Yep. And then he just went off a goddamn cliff.
Then he started taking a poop and a pee into a mason jar.
Sniffing it.
What's that called? Jankum. Django?
Yeah.
Jankum.
So, but then
he started to Jankum.
So here's...
Oh, God.
Here's what happened. Here's what I think happened. He got cocky. He thought he was back.
Yeah.
That's what that movie was to me. Yeah.
You might be right. I mean, and so I'll get into what I thought of it. I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it. So real quick, from The Sixth Sense on, these are the Rotten Tomatoes critic scores in order. 85%. 69%, 73%, 43%, 25%, 18%, 5%, 11%, 66%, 76%, 36%. That's terrible.
So yeah, it's terrible.
That's a lot of dumps.
I picture like this in the Olympics, like this diver, like approaching like the 3-meter board, like getting up there, jumping off, and like taking off like into the air and then shitting his speedos like halfway up. It just
belly flopping,
landing in the pool, and there's like a brown cloud around him.
Oh.
But he still gets out of the pool and gives you the thumbs up. Like, that is M. Night Shyamalan's career. A lot of poop talk today.
Dude, we mentioned the Razzies before. He's won numerous Razzies.
Yeah.
Worst director, worst screenplay, worst film. He won it in 06 for Lady in the Water, 10 for The Last Airbender. He was nominated in 08 for The Happening. I don't know how The Happening didn't win.
Have you seen The Last Airbender?
No, I have no interest.
It doesn't make any sense. Like,
no interest.
It just, like, the story, the cuts, yeah. Like, the editing, like, doesn't make any sense. Like, it jumps from one scene to the other without ever.
Yeah. Like, how would you, so did you like, you clearly liked Unbreakable and Split more than Glass, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then within M. Night movies, is it even a top five M. Night movie for you?
Well, that's probably the thing. Not. I mean, like, look at, I mean, it might be. Because look at what it's up against. I mean, you have.
No, but probably not. Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, Split. That's four. And then probably The Visit are probably all better than Glass.
I would. Yeah, I would say or The Visit's a little better than Glass.
I personally like Glass better than The Visit, better than The Village, better than Lady. You know, it's, for me, it's probably fifth, but I could see how.
I didn't really like Signs. I know why people
do like
Signs.
Right.
I didn't really like
Signs. You hated Signs.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. So
water,
maybe
water.
That's right, bro.
What does M. Night Shyamalan have against water?
Well, I don't know.
Anyway,
because actually, that's also I didn't even think of this. So obviously, in Signs, that's what kills the aliens. But that's also what Bruce Willis is afraid of in Unbreakable.
Like, how are you afraid? And Rye, my wife was asking me, she's like, so
water.
Does he just
then lady
drown?
In the water,
or like can he not like be in water? Like, what if it rains? Does it like hurt him? Like,
yeah, I'm
like,
he freaks out a little bit.
I'm like, you know, it's just hives.
It's just hives. Just a really bad rash. Just terrible.
So I didn't really know how to explain that. But
Brian, what would your hashtag dork score be for this movie?
2.5.
Whoa. So
sticking to it, or like the softest three.
No, 2.5.
Two and a half.
You're locked in 2.5. Yep. Rock cock, ready to rock. So what we should do is we'll keep tabs.
Okay.
I'll write this down later for all of our 2019 movies and what our Stone score is.
I'm doing some quick math here. What did I just give that?
2.5.
I know, but 2.5.
This is 2.5. That's it.
It's a 42. I gave her a 42.
No, that's fine. Well, you don't need to convert it. This is our scale. We go to 6. That's it.
Yeah.
These go to six.
2.5.
I'm gonna go. This might knock your socks off, so hopefully you're not wearing any socks.
I'm not wearing socks right now.
I'm going to go with a flagging 4.
You're out of your... you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind.
4 score and 7 years ago.
Get the fuck out of here. You are not giving this... Okay.
I thought it was a 4. I thought it was a solid 4 for a film. I actually liked it even more. I left the theater. I said, that might be a 4.5.
Oh.
And then I've been thinking about it more. And so actually, if we did this podcast next week, it might be a 3.5.
I'm going to pass out at my desk right now.
No, we need you. We need you for the rest of this.
Oh, my God. All right.
A 4.
I want a list of other movies you've given a 4.
I give way too many movies 4s. That's my problem. That's my biggest problem. And here's why. Because 6 is obviously reserved for Infinity War and The Dark Knight and Guardians of the Galaxy all the best movies.
Mm-hmm.
5s are like really good. Like I think Homecoming was Spider-Man Homecoming was like a 5. Like those are really good.
Yep.
3 and below, I'm like, it's almost like a waste of my time, kind of shitty. And like I didn't think Glass was a waste of my time.
See, I think 1 and 2 is don't even bother.
Yeah. So I should probably give more 3s.
Yeah, like a 2.5 to me is like, see it if you want. You're not gonna feel real good about it.
But a 2.5 would be, if we had to abide by the Rotten Tomatoes score, you would say no.
I'd say no. No.
Right? Because basically 3 is right on the line, so anything above a 3 would be a yes, anything below a 3 would be a no, a 3 would be whatever the fuck you want it to be. So I'm going to say 4, but maybe you'll convince me that it's worse. So I'm going to give it a 4. Dave's giving it a 2.5. Anything else non-spoiler on Glass?
Like I said, I think it's one of those movies that you want to like and you can't. There's something there you don't want to look at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably. What do you mean? Yeah, I don't agree with me. You just gave it a 4.
I gave it a 4. I'll get into it. I'll get into it here coming up. So let's go. Spoiler, 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 spoilers. Sound the alarm. Spoiler, 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 spoiler. Let's begin. I guess there's technically 2 M. Night twists in this movie, would you say?
Yeah. And they're not like both of them. One of them. So we're into spoilers, right?
Yes, I just did the whole spoilers.
That's what that meant. What's her name? Sarah Paulson? Is that her name?
Yes.
Her name was
Sarah Paulson.
Her being in on the whole thing, you sniffed that out fucking right away. You know, like, if you didn't...
Well, you could tell something was fucked with the whole thing with, like, the three of them and what was going on there. Like
her,
for sure.
Her vocation is, like, oddly specific. Like...
Yeah.
Like, I get it that there's, like, psychologists that specialize in certain things, but that's a little too specific. Right?
So you don't like the idea of there being somebody out there to cover up the existence of superheroes?
No, that's not what I'm saying. It's like you didn't mask it well enough.
Oh,
like,
but that wasn't a surprise. But I don't. Okay, so I don't even consider that a twist. Like her being a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I always get the sense that, like, somebody, especially because you know for a fact that Bruce Willis is a good guy.
Right.
So the fact that he's in a situation like that already leads me to believe that she is not a good guy. But I thought the twists. Oh, go ahead.
But like, why? If I'm Bruce Willis's character, I'm like, why am I here? Like, I haven't done anything wrong. Like, what?
Well, he's a vigilante.
Yeah, but like, what is it illegal to save people?
Well, I mean, did he do citizen's arrest by the book? I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, is it illegal to, like, unchain captive women?
Well, to take the law into your own hands, maybe it is. Well, no, because he's also been doing it for years.
I suppose.
And so they knew who he was. He's the overseer. What do you think of that name?
I like that name.
Overseer's not bad.
Not a bad name.
His son, who is the same kid that played his son 18 years ago.
Is the guy in the chair.
So I thought that was pretty good. He was the man in the chair.
Yep.
He was pretty good. They run like the Dunn Home Security or whatever. And so he's like a poor man's Batman, essentially. And so certain officers, if he didn't have Jim Gordon there, they would probably, and in fact, even Jim Gordon at times has wanted to arrest Batman. So I think that's just kind of what he is.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I thought the twists were, or at least what they wanted you to think the twists were. One, and I like this, and this could be corny, whatever you think, but so we already know that Samuel L. Jackson was the one that caused the train crash or the train wreck that Bruce Willis was on, and he was the only one who survived. You also find out that James McAvoy's father, who left, was on said train and died. And basically was killed by Samuel L. Jackson.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Why does that matter?
Well, because he had to tell him, like, he wouldn't have ended up the way that he did. And he said, hey, don't tell him about that.
But
then he had to tell him.
And he's like, oh, now the villains are going to turn on the good guy and the bad guy are going to team up against the mastermind. And you're like, why? Because the way the movie plays out, you're like, that doesn't matter.
He wanted them to, because that's another one of his supervillain powers, is that he creates superheroes.
I know, but at the same, like, the whole plot point, like you don't need that. That's wasted. The other thing, too, this movie's 2 hours and 9 minutes long. That's way too long.
It was
way too long.
Longer than it needed to be. I will give you that. Mm-hmm. I will give you that just a little bit. I also thought the other twist, it was kind of a letdown, but was the fact that basically all the characters that we knew we're all killed, and that there are, like, are superheroes in the world, and like we're living in a world, or they're living in a world where there's a lot of superheroes.
Let me ask you this: so you're
superpowered people, or whatever, or metahumans, or whatever you want to call them.
Your Sarah Paulson's character's job is to either convince these people that they're not superheroes, or give them basically a laser lobotomy to shine a laser pointer in their eye and take that part away from them, right?
As it were,
correct. As it were, as it plays out in this movie. If you are the overseer, right, put yourself in his shoes, and you have this ability to kind of touch people and, you know, be an empath and see, like, their thoughts and all this stuff, and some trained psychologist comes to you and says, no, you don't do that. You're just a really good magician. You would laugh in her face. No, you're just a magician. Like, yeah. Oh, my God, get the...
But like, at that point, so I was dumb. Thinking that she was trying to just convince them that they weren't, and give you ideas of why they weren't. And like, they're like, oh, like sometimes, you know, people, like, guys can climb well. And like, then you see like James McAvoy climbing the wall, which obviously nobody else can do. But they were trying to do that.
Why didn't Bruce Willis just stand up in the metal folding chair he was in and just bend it in half and be like, see?
Yeah. Which, again, was Glass's whole plan all along.
Yeah.
And so he made sure all the cameras were set up, and you could see, David Dunn, the overseer, bending shit and just, you know, causing in the whole fight. I actually thought when Glass and James McAvoy teamed up, I thought there was some pretty sweet stuff there.
There was sweet action. There was some sweet action there.
I liked the sweet villain action there.
A lot of bear hugging.
Yeah, that's a part of it, for sure.
But, like, this whole plan took 19 years for him to concoct since he's been in there.
And a hell of a payoff.
They didn't get out of the parking lot, Rich.
But Ryan, the video spread. The video went viral, as the kids say, and everybody saw it. And now I was waiting. They showed a guy, like, standing at the top of a building. I'm like, is that fucking guy going to fly or what?
Yeah.
And he did not.
He did not.
He did not. I thought that he might. Now, did Sarah Paulson at one point say, have you ever been to a comic book convention?
She did. She took a shot at us.
I was like, yeah, you're talking to the bad boys at Comic-Con, lady. So, yeah, we have.
Those people are fanatical. I'm like, well, they are, but you don't know that. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know a goddamn thing about them.
Don't generalize people like that.
Yeah. What did you think of, like, each one of the characters having – so it was Anya Taylor-Joy, who we already talked about having, like, Stockholm Syndrome and then some. Then you have Glass's mom and you have Overseer's son, and, like, those three came together.
I'm surprised that Glass's mom is still going. She's still spry, you know.
Yeah, she's got to be getting up there because Glass looks like he's been through some shit.
I like the idea of Willis's son being like, because he always wanted to be like his dad. Remember, there was a whole thing. He's like, he's crying. He's like, I'm not like you, when he got in a fight.
Yeah.
So that was nice. That was a nice little turn. And they're both kind of reeling from the mom passing away. And again, the Anya Taylor-Joy, like, I have no idea why she's in this movie. I mean, it tethers all of them to, like, it brings it all together. But it's a movie, and I get it. There's suspension of disbelief. But if there's someone who is, like, locked you up and was going to kill you, and they're like, he needs your help, and you're like, okay, and you go there and, like, try to calm him down. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing?
That was odd.
That's bad writing.
M. Night Shyamalan, speaking of him, turns out the character that he played in Split and in Unbreakable might have been the same guy.
Of course it is.
Now, that may have been the biggest twist of them all.
Yeah.
He was the shitheaded Unbreakable, and then he was the fucking guy. What was his name? Jai, I think it was, or whatever it was, in Split that you see him.
Like, yeah.
Oh, God. For the love of God. But Ryan, one thing I did like, and you got to admit, the best part of Split was James McAvoy. The best part of this movie was also James McAvoy. And he did more characters. He did way more people. So this was a quick list. So obviously he's Kevin. He's the Beast.
Yep.
He was Jade, who was a teenage girl. He was Orwell, who was a historian.
Mm-hmm.
Barry was an effeminate man. Patricia, we've seen before, the proper British woman.
Mm-hmm.
Hedwig, the 9-year-old boy. Anne and Mary Reynolds, who are Irish twin girls. Dennis, who we saw before, a perverted man suffering from OCD. Norma, a Southern woman. Luke, a Southern man who spoils movies. That's what it says in Wikipedia. And Mr. Pritchard, a professor of Japanese cinema.
Yeah.
That's, so he did a ton of stuff. He was good.
He did a ton. It was cool. Like, every time, like, the light flashed, he would be somebody else. Like, I thought that was
pretty
cool.
Yeah, like, so you saw him, like, quick. Like, whereas in Split, it was, he would, not every time, but a lot of times he'd kind of leave the room and then come back as somebody else. Like, that was kind of creepy and, like, pretty good.
Here's a hot take, Richard. Like, you know what the worst of those characters was? The Beast.
The Beast.
And I'm going to tell you why. He's standing there. Him and Bruce Willis are about to face off in a parking lot. Like, they're supposed to, like, you to go take over this tower, and they never make it out of the parking lot.
Yes.
And he looks, I'm going to back away from the mic because I have to do this, but he's staring at Bruce Willis. He pounds his chest a couple times, and then he goes, I'm not kidding. Roar! I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, he did. He made some
That's
the horde getting together.
But it was so lame. It was like the motion of him doing, like, those, like, animal, like, running leaps was so stupid. So stupid. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being so negative. But
no, you don't need to apologize. You're actually making a little bit of sense. I think one of the big letdowns may have just been Sarah Paulson's like character. Like, well, she's thing. Good. Like, I have no problem with her. I'm just saying, like, her character and just sort of the whole idea of, like, how could they do it where you take one guy who had been, and I guess, I don't know, I guess they did try to talk it up, like, and they did it in the trailer where they were like, oh, like, you know, I talk to people with delusions of grandeur, and they, like, if they think they're a superhuman, that's who I talk to. But it's like, McAvoy and Willis just got locked up. Jackson been in there for 19 years, and then you have a room with just the three of them.
Yeah.
I feel like there'd probably be more people, like, there are people now that think they're superheroes.
Yeah. Who's that guy in Seattle? Not, who like,
yeah.
But anyway,
but wouldn't there be more of there? There would be more of them. Cause like Bruce Willis made a point of it before. Like, I don't know. It does. It starts to collapse on itself. And that's why I said, like, when I left the theater, I liked it. And then like, as I'm just breaking it down in my head, I'm like, well, all right. It wasn't that great.
You want to know my biggest problem, Richard, is
what's up?
Bruce Willis can bend steel with his hands.
That's right.
He can flip over a van. He can break through a steel door.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But he can't do a single fucking push-up to save his own life.
He can't swim either.
No, but like he the guy pushes his face into a puddle and he can't like push his arms up to like save himself.
Ah, that's a great point.
Like,
yeah,
that's a regular guy. Like, you can't fight back against that guy.
Well, no, but I think he's like, he gets paralyzed by the water. I don't think it was just because that guy was holding him down.
But no,
I
he doesn't, because like he punched out of the water tank.
No, but then he was in that puddle. Like, it was like a weird big puddle.
Yeah, remember when they were wrestling under the water and the beast jumped in on him and they punched him, so he punched out of the thing? So, like, he can operate in water. You can't fucking do a push-up?
No, I guess not. I mean, damn it.
So like, that really bothered me. I'm sorry.
It probably should have.
Yeah.
I wanted this movie to be good.
I see you really did, didn't you? You want to retcon that score? So at the end, obviously at the end,
maybe I will, because we're gonna keep track of these bad boys. Yeah, maybe I'll go 3.5.
They all die.
Yeah.
So all three, the Horde, the Overseer, and Mr. Glass all die, and the video goes viral, and people are like, "Oh my God, superheroes really exist! What if we've kind of ripped the lid off of it?" Right.
Yeah, of course.
And so, where does that leave us now? What do we do now? You know,
well, let me ask you this. Do you want to see a sequel?
Nope. We're good.
What if I told you that Anya Taylor-Joy was going to turn into the Dark Phoenix?
Oh, woo. Still no.
And wait for it. David Dunn's son, Joseph Dunn, was Professor X. And hold on to him. Mr. Glass's mom was
Storm. No.
And together they formed the X-Men.
Not like, but like, no, that wouldn't work. That doesn't work. I'm trying to make jokes about it. I can't. No, please no.
Together they called themselves.
this is the time where M. Night takes a couple shifts off.
Produce
some movies.
Shit. God damn it. You're right.
The writing in this movie is bad.
Like, what a letdown, too. Like, when the three characters that we just, like, the new X-Men, when the three of them were just sitting there in, like, the train station or whatever, and you're like, all right, what's going to happen? And then they're just like, fucking Mrs. Glass looks over and she goes, the beginning of a universe. Oh, my
God. It's an origin story.
Yeah, that was the twist.
Yeah.
This was not the third end of the trilogy. This was the prequel.
Hey, Rich.
Yes.
You know, if they made it, if they followed through with the original plan and had a big showdown at that tower, you know who would have been there?
The Last Airbender?
The News. You know?
Somebody else.
The News would have covered it.
This was not as good as I wanted it to be.
No. So, like, they're teasing this big payoff that they're going to get to this, like, tower and have, like, this big showdown for the whole world to see, which would have probably done a better job than putting it on Reddit, which they basically did.
Yeah, they did. They're like, come find it. It's on Tumblr.
And they have like,
come
they're like it. Showing like in the subway station, some like old guy who's like in his 60s, like looks at his phone and somehow he's on Reddit and sees like this video.
Yeah. So this
like, oh,
this
you just cruise Reddit, old guy.
Yeah. I mean, he might. He's like might. Craigslist. Yeah. Craigslist. Missed encounters.
I don't know, man. This movie's a dump.
It did not live up to the hype for me.
No. And there was some sweet action. McAvoy did some really cool things every now and again.
McAvoy real strong. McAvoy and Glass teaming up was real strong.
It just didn't. There was never a payoff.
What else did I like? The fact that James McAvoy's dad was on that train. That's a nice callback.
It wasn't, though, because it doesn't matter. It's just doing that for the sake of doing it. Like, that didn't matter.
He used to work for the zoo. James McAvoy did.
He sure did. We love animals on Dork Podcast.
Love animals. Love to smell some animals.
Feelreal.com.
Not a good film, huh?
It's not good. It's not good.
Anyway, so the one other thing I was thinking of, this reminded me of, and this isn't exactly a secret universe, but Quentin Tarantino, and we did a whole episode a while ago on Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are in the same universe. And like, how good of an idea would that be for him to finally like put some crossover? Like, that would be a better movie than this. Like, yeah. The Vega Brothers would be a better movie than this.
That'd be an awesome movie. I don't want to see that movie now. Michael Madsen and John Travolta now. That would. That'd be a pretty bad movie.
Actually, or would it be better?
Oh, actually be better. Both of them just like bald incredible. And fat. Yeah.
Just disgusting. And then John Travolta is trying to convince Michael Madsen to join Scientology. That's the whole movie.
And it's just like, Michael Madsen just like tipping a cowboy hat like up and down like all movie.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like, you're bringing up some good points about Zulu. And he's like, no, come on. You gotta join me. It's a lot of fun.
Tell me again about my thetans.
Clear.
That's my best Clear. Michael Madsen I can do.
That's a decent Michael Madsen, sir.
Yeah.
It's a fair Michael Madsen. All right. Anything else on this film that you did not care for? Kind of talked me out of it.
I wanted to like it. You know that. You know.
So we should have done this in non-spoiler, but would you say see it in a movie or skip it?
Skip it entirely.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The twist at the end of Split was so good. Leave it. And people aren't going to listen to me. And I tell people all the time, it's like after the season of Dexter with John Lithgow, stop. Like, don't watch any more Dexter.
Yeah.
And people never listen to me and they get disappointed. I'm like, I think that's season 4 of Dexter out of like 7. Like, stop there.
Yeah.
Like, don't watch
it. You know what? I mean, it's such a busy year for movies. You might as well save yourself the $15.
Seriously. There's wait 2 weeks. There's probably a better movie that's coming out. I can't think right now, but. Something's better is coming.
Yeah, something. I mean, I know Captain Marvel is in
like a month.
March.
Yeah.
So
watch True Detective. The show's awesome.
Oh, loving True Detective. Yeah. Are we done with Glass? Want to pick the pod here?
Yeah, let's get out of this.
All right.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod. Kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal?
I'll receive again this week. This has been a 3 in a row for me that I've received. Wow. I received the kickoff here. But
jeez, you're like the fucking Patriots.
I know. I watched the much... recommended movie. The people were telling me to watch this movie left or right. The movie Fyre, FYRE on Netflix. Fascinating.
Oh, that's about that festival, right?
About the Fyre festival that was in the Bahamas or something like that. And like the guy,
I got it. Yep. I got it. I'm going to watch that soon.
Fascinating. Like how these things happened. And I remember when the story broke in like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I did too. Yeah.
And it was just like, how the hell? And they're like, oh, gourmet, we're going to have gourmet food. And they showed the picture of like the styrofoam with like a piece of bread with like American cheese and like a dry salad. I'm like, oh my God. And so the true story of this is even more unbelievable than the news story.
All right, cool. I'll definitely watch that.
So definitely check that out.
All right. Very good. This is our buddy Jason Rossi, who does Rossi on Wrestling, the podcast you can check out now on iTunes. He's doing a Royal Rumble pool, Ryan.
Oh boy.
If you have any interest in this, it's a $20 buy-in. You get randomly selected a number for both the men's and women's Rumble. And each number will be different, but you'll get in on each one. And if your person wins the Rumble, I think you get like $250
nice.
For either Rumble. And then there's also payouts for like most elimination, oldest wrestler, youngest wrestler, like quickest elimination. So there's a bunch of payouts in there. So
who are they going to bring in? Who's coming in the Rumble? Who's like the old school guy they're bringing in, or girl?
That's a good question too. I'm always enjoying it for some surprises because it's this Sunday. So there's always going to be a surprise or two.
You Stone Cold?
I don't think he wrestles anymore.
Why not?
I think his neck's all fucked up.
He a coward?
I would not suggest that he is. He may find you.
He might.
But so if you're interested, at Jason D. Rossi, if he has any more spaces available, you can just DM him on Twitter and figure out a way to get in some sweet Royal Rumble action this Sunday night.
That's one of my favorite wrestling pay-per-views. I'm right on the cusp of getting back into wrestling. I'm almost there.
Yeah. I'm in on like Rumble and Mania, and like every once in a while I'll dip in just to see what's going on Raw. But like I don't keep the network year round.
Well,
like,
I'll tell you,
I dip in and out.
What did it? And this happened like a year ago. Our buddy, our friend of the podcast, the 1-2-3 Fridge, introduced me to a young lassie named Becky Lynch.
Oh yeah, she's worth the price of admission alone.
I am smitten. I am absolutely smitten with everything she does. She's the best. So
well,
you might want
to watch the Rumble this weekend. So maybe we're watching the Rumble.
I know.
All right, Ryan, so maybe later on this week. So next week, I'm going to be out of town for the Super Bowl.
Look at me.
I'll be in Atlanta.
When is Dork Podcast going to the Super Bowl, by the way? When are we doing that?
Well, half of Dork Podcast is going.
Well, that's just nitpicking, isn't it?
So we may do an Infinity War commentary this week.
Nice.
If we have time.
Yeah.
Right? We'll see.
Oh yeah,
are you ready to that?
Yeah, we might be twitching.
So we might twitch it. So you can twitch it live. You can watch along with us, and then we'll post it maybe next week, like as the episode. So if you missed it or whatever, we'll do that.
Yeah,
so.
And the other announcement I had, I put it on Twitter. My wife has agreed to we're going to watch the Oscars and do a live commentary on Twitch of Team Davey on the Oscars.
I love it. That'll be great.
So that's
Twitch. twitch.tv/ArvonD. Of course, you can rate, review, and subscribe to the iTunes, #Dork. We're on Twitter @DorkPodcast. We're on YouTube. Haven't uploaded anything in a while. Maybe I'll come up with some stuff when we're down at the...
Do that.
Down at the old Atlanta. So that's youtube.com/DorkPodcast. Email dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Davey, where can people follow you?
At ArvonD on any and all social media, that being Twitch, Twitter, Instagram. I think I'm ArvonD 603. On Instagram. But other than that, type in Arvon D, you'll find me. You get your boy.
All right, Ryan, after all of that, another perfect episode.
Nailed it. Nice.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.